First, let me say that my attempted humor about all of the changes that we've had to make does not in any way negate the seriousness of the epidemic that is facing our world and the trials that we all have within our community, because we are one of the largest cities in the country. The greatest news that I heard today is the most safe protection any of us has is making sure you wash your hands regularly. It continues to be home, and when you're sick, to stay home. Today, it seems that in some ways, not only illness, but death itself comes through one person. We begin in the very first book of our Bible, Genesis, with the creation of humankind, and humankind has been made in the image of God. And what is the first thing God does but breathe into the nostrils of every single person here and gives us his spirit? We heard at the beginning of Lent at Ash Wednesday that we are created as temples of God and the Holy Spirit, that we are called to be holy because God resides within every one of us who gather here. And we hear the story today, and it's a serpent. In the gospel, it's the devil. But in our first reading, it's a serpent who uses one of the most interesting tactics. And people have modeled their lives after the devil all down through the ages. You approach someone and say, "So is it true that this is what you Catholics believe? Is it true that God told you that you can't eat of that tree?" "Well, absolutely. We can be in agreement." "And what did he say, that you're going to die? How can that possibly be? It's a beautiful tree. It's got beautiful fruit." They meet us where we are. And down through the centuries, we continue to be like the people of Israel who were let out of slavery in Egypt to go to a promised land. And as they're at the base of a high mountain and Moses is communing with God, they get tired of waiting. It's kind of like 55 minutes into Mass. "Let me get out of here. I got things to do, people to see." We get impatient. It's part of that whole process. And so they decided they're going to worship somebody other than God. They built a golden calf. And down through the ages to the present day, we continue. We each have golden calves. Maybe it's spending more time than we should on the internet, looking at all of the wrong things in all of the wrong places. Maybe it's putting one more 20 in that slot machine because you know it's going to give it to you. One more scratch on the lottery and you're going to make a million, and you know you're going to give it to the church, and God, I'm going to give everything to the church except for my share. Undetermined at that point. And when you don't get it, you deduct it from the church. We have all kinds of things that we can get caught up into, whether it's an alcohol bottle, drugs, sex. Telling all different colors of lies, white, pink, purple, black. A lie is a lie. It doesn't have a color. And just as the people of Israel were given 10 commandments, so too do we have 10. First three, honoring God and how we love God. And the other seven are how we interact with others. Because our faith is one of being other-centered. And of course, what happens to our parents, we know as Adam and Eve, humankind, is once they ate of the fruit of life, they lost their life and they lost their innocence. And thus began the whole process we call original sin, where we lose patience, we become prideful, we become covetous of others, we think it's all about us. The narcissistic complex reigns supreme. And we go, and Paul tells the people of Rome, and Christ has done something wonderful. Just as Moses led the people through Israel and they wandered through the desert 40 years, Jesus has now done it again. And he's been tempted in all manners, just as the Israelites. They became hungry. God fed them, but it wasn't good enough. They wanted meat, and so he gave them quail, and that wasn't good enough. They wanted water, and he gave them water. They wanted to see the promised land, but then they had all this battle that they had to fight. All of the temptations of Jesus, the people of Israel had gone through and failed, just as we do again and again and again. But something wonderful has happened for you and for me. Jesus Christ has been tempted and said no, and has gifted every one of us with life everlasting. That's what this season of 40 days is for each of us, to re-examine who we are and where we are, to maybe just take a piece of paper and divide it into two columns, and on one side write down all of our golden calves, the things that we need some more help on, the things that we keep giving into, those 5 maple frosted donuts that I just had to have. Boy, did they make me sick. And then on the plus side, all of our good qualities, and dig deep because we all have them. And to recognize, as we've heard in Romans, that God created everything and it was magnificent, including us. And so today it's a reminder again and again for us. Our journey has begun, but we never go it alone, because Jesus said, unlike the people of Israel, we don't have to follow fire and a pillar of cloud and the thunder of God's voice. Jesus has gifted every single one of us with his Spirit, the Comforter, that gives us all of those gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, knowledge, wisdom, fortitude, that sense of well-being. But we have to cultivate it by the way we live our life, to not get caught up into the golden calves, but to embrace the gift of life for every single one of us.